Good to go. All right.
Psalm 18, verse 17, the Bible says, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him and kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for these guys being here, Lord. It's a privilege and a wonderful opportunity, Lord, to be able to open Your Word. God, any time that we do, Lord, we know that You are working and that You are active. And God, that if we're receptive, great things will happen in our lives. I pray that that would happen today, Lord. If anyone's not saved in the room, we pray that they would not leave here until they know for sure that You are their Savior forever, Lord. And God, if we are saved, I pray You would strengthen us and challenge us right where we need it. God, maybe there's some thought patterns, maybe there's some things in our lives that maybe imperceptibly, Lord, they begin to stray and get kind of loose on us, Lord. And we want to tighten those things up today, God, so that we can go out and face this lost and dying world, Lord, with the right mindset. God, we pray that You would please just teach us and give us insight into what You want from us. I pray that, God, You give me the right words and thoughts and spirit to get this across how You want. Help the guys to be ready to hear from You. And God, we pray that You would help us to hear Your voice. God, I don't want these guys to hear me. I want it to go much deeper than that. And I want You to speak to their hearts and change us to what You want us to be. Help us to be more like You when we leave here today. We love You, Lord. Bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you guys for standing. I do appreciate that. In Psalm 18, it is written by King David. Obviously, we deal a lot with King David. He was that young shepherd boy that came before Saul and played the harp to soothe his evil spirit. And it was said about David from the first time he shows up in the Bible, guys, which I believe is 1 Samuel 16, right in that area, that it said a lot of things about him. He's cunning, he's valiant, he's wise, he's prudent, he deals well with people, he handles himself well. But at the end of that section, guys, as they're kind of running off the resume of David, they said, and the Lord is with him. Hey, guys, if there's anything, listen, if there's anything you want in your life, don't let people say, man, he's cool or he's funny or he's talented or he's smart or he's athletic or whatever it may be. Let the main focus of your life be, man, God is with that guy. He's got power with God. He's got a strong relationship with God. And listen, guys, anybody can have that. Listen. There's somebody in this room that's faster as far as how you can run, as far as how fast you can run than anybody else in the room. You have more capability. Maybe you've worked at it. Maybe you've developed that skill. But you have more natural ability to do it than anybody else in the room. And the rest of us think, man, that ain't right. But that's just how life is. There's some people with more mental capabilities than others. Now, that's no excuse to be lazy or not to try. We should all give forth our best effort. And God has taken care of all of us. I'm not trying to get us to complain. God's been good to all of us, far better than we ever deserve. But there's someone with more mental capabilities than the rest of us do. But you know what? There is no one in the room that has more capability, Kevin, to get to God than anybody else in the room. You understand what I just said?
Right.
Listen, you say, Brother Tom, you're a preacher. Hey, God loves me just as much as He loves you. God's given me just as much grace as He gives you. You just got to use it. Listen, you can talk to God 24/7, and so can I. You can open God's Word and get the answers to life, and it's available to you, and it's right there for you. Listen, no one in the room has a better opportunity to get closer to God than anybody else in the room. We all have the same chance. So this was said about David, that he had the Lord with him, and God's presence was on him and His power on him. Guys, you remember the story? The army's freaked out. They're scared of this giant that's 9'9" tall, Goliath. You think some of them guys on the football field are huge? This dude's really huge. Yeah. All right? And no one had defeated. He was the champion of the Philistines, and he walks out in that valley and says, send some man out here. Guys, no one from the Israelite army was walking out there. They were scared to death. And hey, we get it, right? We understand. But there was just a teenager. He wasn't even in the army, guys. But he shows up running an errand for his dad, taking care of his brothers. He shows up and he sees something and it grieves his heart. He's saying, how is this guy defying the armies of the living God? Somebody needs to do something. And David wasn't looking around at everybody else. He said, you know what? I want to be that man. And with God's help, I'm going to step out there. He's just probably 15, 16, 17 years old, guys. All he has is five stones, five rocks, and a slingshot. They tried to give him the armor. They tried to give him the sword. They tried to give him the helmet. They tried to fully equip him, but he couldn't even walk. When he tried to put all this stuff on, he couldn't be somebody else. He had to be himself. And he got out there. And guys, it says he ran toward Goliath. He got that one of those stones out, slung that thing around, and threw it at that guy's head. And it says it sunk into his forehead, and he went down on the ground. And the job wasn't done yet. David got up on top of him, stole his sword from him, and chopped his head off. And then held it up, and I'm sure all the Israelites were like, "What?" And all the other, all the guys on the Philistine side were like, "What?" All right, but they went in two different directions. The Israelites came after them, and the Philistines were out of town. They were running for their lives. Why? Because a teenager believed God, and he got serious with God. Not he wasn't trying to be something big, guys. He didn't say, "If I get out there, everybody will make a big name of me." He didn't care about that. He said, "They're defying God, and I've got to do something." And he got out there, and God used him in a story that we're talking about 3,000 years later. That's David. David's now at the end of his life. In Psalm 18, he had been king for some 40 years. He's an elderly man at this point. He's seen a lot of battles. He's seen a lot of ups and downs, a lot of mountains, a lot of valleys, a lot of things that happened in David's life. He had some great victories. He had some terrible defeats. He made some awful mistakes in his life. But thank God, even when you make those mistakes, God's not done with you. He'll forgive you. He'll get you back up and give you another chance to serve him. David is recounting how God has continually brought him through in his life. Just for a sampling, guys, I want to give verses 4 through 6. We'll read those real quick. He's just talking about the times in his life that he's dealt with these things. Verse number 4, he says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." David's saying, don't get it mistaken. There were times I was fearful. I was afraid. I was terrified. And death was all around me. It was compassing me. And that means to surround him. He says, verse 5, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." You know what he's talking about? I was in some deadly, dangerous situations. But what did he do? Verse number 6, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears." Listen, guys, if you are serious, if you're real with God, and you pour it all out before him, you confess your sins and you say, "God, I'm struggling. God, it's hard. God, what's going on in my family? What's going on in my life? What's going on even in my mind or in my relationships, my dealings with people? God, it's hard. I'm struggling." Hey, guys, you call out to God. The Bible says he will hear your cry. It'll come even into his ears. Thank God for that. He's listening. He's listening. Guys, if you mean business with God, he means business with you. And he talks about those distresses and those difficulties, and he talks about those desperate cries that he had. And what happened when he cried out to God? Verse 18, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." Verse number 19, "He brought me forth into a large place." He delivered me. Guys, and you go throughout this passage and he's talking about God delivered me and God delivered me and God delivered me. You know what David is saying? All throughout my life, I faced hard times. All throughout my life, I faced rough patches in my life. It was difficult. It was hard for me. But he said, man, in those lowest moments of my life, I got down on my knees. I begged God for help, for strength, for direction. Direction for guidance. And he's saying, God brought me through. Hey, don't get it mistaken, guys. In chapter 18, David is not tooting his own horn. He's not blowing himself up. He's not putting himself up there and saying, "Yeah, I beat these people and I took them down and I beat that army and I beat that giant and I did this and I did that. Yeah, look at me." No, no, no. He is praising God and saying, "God, I was in a mess, but you brought me out of it. God, I got myself in a difficult situation, but God, you brought me through it." And he is praising and honoring God. I wonder when you tell your story of your life, who you're going to be focused on. He's focused on God. He's saying, "God did this for me." By the way, guys, you don't have to wait till the end of your life to start talking about this. Why don't you start trusting God now with your life? Now! Don't wait until you get yourself in over your head. Say, "God, lead me and guide me." And the Bible says he'll direct your paths. So he talks about how God delivered him. But guys, in this immediate section that we read, verses 17 through 24, he details how he remained faithful. Notice these words. He remained faithful. He stuck with it, and he kept living right. Guys, listen. If you want God to deliver you, listen, if you want God to deliver you, you better live right.
Amen. That's good.
If you're playing games, if you don't care, if you show up when you want and leave when you want, and you only call out to God in those crisis moments, I'm sorry, don't expect God to come through for you. God's watching you all the time, and He sees whether you're real or not. He sees whether you're calling Him for 911 or if you really care about Him every single day. Listen, God wants us to be faithful and consistent. And you know what David's saying, verse 20. He says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me." Verse 24 is very similar. "Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in this eyesight." This ain't talking about hand sanitizer, all right? He's saying, listen, God, I see that You've delivered me. Listen, guys, was David perfect? Far from it, right? Some of the worst sins and things that we can talk about, God, David committed them, right? But you know what he's saying, I think, Kevin? He's saying, I was still trying.
Yeah.
Even when I messed up, I got it right. And listen, guys, God's not asking for perfection for your life, but He does ask for you to give effort and try. And listen, guys, so many people I talk to, man, how are you doing in your Christian life? Oh, I'm struggling, dude. And you know what that's code for a lot of guys? They're not trying. If you're not trying, that ain't struggling.
Yeah.
Struggling means you push a little forward, Carlos, and you get pushed back. That's a football. That's a line of scrimmage. You're pushing and you get pushed back. And you're pushing and you get pushed back. And maybe you fall down, but you get back up. That's struggling. That's trying. So many people are not trying. Listen, guys, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to act like I'm smarter than you, because I'm probably not. Listen, but if you're not reading your Bible at all, you're not trying. If you show up whenever you feel like it to church, which is not too often, I'm not betting on you. You're not trying. This Christian life is a battle. This Christian life is pushing. Carlos, if a guy shows up to one practice and expects to be in the game during the season starts, coach is going to laugh at him. Right? There's no chance.
Yeah.
No chance he's getting on the field. There's no chance he's probably even sitting on the bench. They say you can set up on those benches, all right, with all the other fans, because you're not part of this team. You're not committed. Hey, guys. When you got saved, you got on the team. Right. But it's time you get committed to it and say, God, I want to be a part of it. I want to be all in. I don't want to be half over here and half over here. Like Brother Zach preached on last week. God, I want to give my life a living sacrifice. Give everything to You. Put it all out there. And then, listen, guys, when you face a difficult circumstance, God says, yes, I will bring you through that. He's saying, I remained faithful. I stuck with it. By the way, guys, if you quit halfway through, you'll never experience the deliverance that God wants you to have. Listen, if you're halfway through the ride and you take the harness off and you jump out, you're never going to get to the end of the ride successfully. You're never going to come through it and learn the lesson that God wants you to. So he remained faithful. He stuck with it and he lived right. But guys, in his section where he's talking about, God, I live right. I stayed faithful. I wasn't perfect, but I kept trying, and you brought me through. There's a statement he makes in one of the verses that I think is something that we really need nowadays, because, guys, we live in a day and age. I mean, this has happened all throughout history, but the devil is a master of subtlety. The devil doesn't throw something huge and obvious in front of you and say, I'm trying to destroy you, I'm trying to take you down. He goes very small and very incrementally at the beginning. Okay? He starts off really slow, and you can't always tell what he's trying to do. He's very sneaky, he's very tricky. And I think we live in a day and age where he's trying to kind of change some terms on us. And if we don't watch it, it can affect the way we think. Yeah. And guys, if he affects the way we think, what happens? It affects the way we live. Before long, you'll start believing it and you'll start behaving in line with that. And that's what I'm afraid of for myself and for you. You say, what's the verse? Verse 21. This stuck out to me and I think it's so needed. Notice verse 21. Again, what is he talking about in the greater context? He's saying, God delivered me, but he's saying, I live right. Hey, guys, keep living right. Even when it seems discouraging, keep living right. If you're at your job and everybody makes fun of you because you haven't messed around with the girls and because you haven't smoked this and drank that, you keep living right. Do you want God to deliver you or not? Stay faithful. Hey, I know it's summer, but just because it's summer doesn't mean you take a vacation from God.
Right.
Take a vacation from your Christian life. No. Stay focused. You can have fun. You can do some other things. You don't have to go in school. Hallelujah for most of you, right? But stay focused on your Christian life. Stay close to God. He says in verse 21, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. And notice the last phrase. and have not wickedly departed from my God. Guys, that's a very clear, straight up statement. I like it. It comes right between the eyes. I like it. It's a pinpointed statement, and in my mind, Ethan, he nails it. It hits the bullseye. It hits it right on the mark. You say, why is that, Brother Tom? Because, guys, when he says this, and have not, David's saying, I stayed faithful, right? I stayed at it. I stayed in line. And he says, I have not wickedly departed from my God. Guys, here's the message today, and I'll give you the title here in a minute. But he's saying this, if I depart from God, what does he call it? If I or you depart from God, what does he call it in verse 21? He says, I have not what?
Wickedly.
Wickedly departed from God. So if I depart from God, what is that?
Wicked.
That's it. That's it. That's wicked. You say, I'm not still getting what you're talking about. I hope you will as we go through. Here's what I want to preach on today. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. Okay? I'm not trying to beat anybody up. And I'm going to say this from the get-go right now. Listen up. Probably because of what I'm talking about today, some of the memories and some of the things from the past may come to mind. And that's natural. We can't avoid that. But guys, listen. I am not throwing stones at any particular person. If anybody that's walked away from God comes back with the right heart and the right motives, bring it on. Bring it on. We pray for that. We want that. Yeah. So don't get the idea today that I'm kicking people while they're down and I'm saying, yeah, I'm better than them. And us in this class, we're better than them. No, we're not. No, we're not.
Right.
Okay? It can happen to anybody. It doesn't have to, but it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to clear that up from right now. Hope you understand. But if you depart from God, that's wicked. If I depart from God, that's wicked. And we need to call it what it is, because nowadays people have tried to change the terms and change the way we think about it and perceive it and think, hey, it's not that big a deal. David says in verse 21, and God through the Holy Spirit puts it in the Bible and says, when you depart from God, that's wickedness.
Right.
All right? Call it what it is. I'm going to give you 2 points. We'll see how long it takes. Hopefully, maybe, perhaps, not too long. All right? We'll see how it goes. All right? Point number one, there's a relabeling effort. There's a relabeling effort. Relabeling effort. I'm going to put a couple words on the board. One of them I'll explain now, the other I'll get to. That's right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about this one with the top one you do right now. Relabeling effort. Guys, you know what the world has done, and you know ultimately who's behind it is the devil. The devil is behind all this, but it's a relabeling effort. Hey guys, let me just say this. The reality of departing. It's real. It happens. I've seen people quit on God. I've seen people that have come to church for years stop. And it's not because they're going to a different church. It's not because God moved them somewhere else. They stopped serving God, period. That's a sad thing. That's an awful thing.
Yeah.
That's a wicked thing. Okay? It's real. It happens. And guys, from time to time, I have heard some of their reasoning disclosed. Maybe I've heard it myself, first person, or I've heard it from some other people that I trust, and they've talked to those people, and I've heard, Micah, some of the reasoning. I've heard why I made the decision that I did. And guys, you know what it sounds like from time to time? It sounds something like this. I want you guys to lock in here. It sounds something like this. Well, I needed a break. My life was just really hard at that time. It was just really, I was struggling. Things were really difficult for me at that time. I needed to step away. I needed to chill. There was a lot of pressure on me. I've heard people say I was tired of the fight. I was tired of the fight. Don't look at that. Don't listen to that. And don't go there. And don't talk like that. And live distinctively. And live holy. And live different. And all these kind of things. I got tired of the fight. I've heard some people say, well, just some other things came up in my life. I had to focus on some other areas, some other things in my life. Hey, I'm still a Christian. I'm still a so-called child of God, but there was just some more pressing matters in my life. Some other things I needed to get my mind on. Some other things I had to give my attention to. And I had to focus on some other areas. I'm going through a lot. It's just a lifestyle change. It's just a modification. I just needed to rethink some things in my life. I needed to reevaluate some things in my life. And guys, You know what I think all that is? Listen. You know what I think all that is? And again, I'm not trying to bash anybody. You know what I think all that is? It's the devil trying to soften the impact of it. It's the devil trying to take away the shock of it. Listen, guys. When the thought goes through our mind about quitting on God, about stopping what we're doing for the Lord, about going off and doing something else, the prodigal son mentality. Guys, there should be something in our mind that shocks us. And we say, no, I can't do that. Or if we hear that about one of our friends, Kevin, there should be something. No, come on, man, what are you doing? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
And we start praying for them, and it's emergency, it's crisis mode. We say, man, come on, get your mind right. But you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to take that shock away. Whoa. You don't have to get all crazy about it. I mean, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not killing myself. I'm not doing something wild and off the wall. We got to realize the deceit, guys. This is a trick. This is the devil's tactic. Listen, listen. Just like in Genesis chapter 3, where he came up to Eve and said, "Yea, hath God said." You know what he's trying to do? What did God already told her? Don't eat the fruit. Told Adam.
Yeah.
Don't eat the fruit. Don't eat it. Don't touch it. Don't get close to it. Don't eat it. Clear cut. God told them. That was not confusing. That was not ambiguous. That was not mysterious. I wonder what he means. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
Clear. But you know what the devil tries to do? Is that really what he meant?
Hmm.
I mean, do you really have to be all fanatical about it? I mean, what's one blade going to do? One bite?
Was it going to kill you? What if when you take one bite, is lightning going to come out of heaven and whoosh? And you're just some smoldering hole in the ground? Is that real? Come on.
Calm down. It's not that big a deal. Hey, guys. And what happened? She fell for it. And then she got her husband to fall for it. And what has happened? Because of that, the whole human race has been plunged into sin. And that's why when people nowadays, that's why we have the curse of sin on the world. And you guys know all this. I don't need to go through this. But because they made that decision. And what were they influenced by to make that decision? The devil lowering it down, taking the shock away, softening the blow, softening the impact. Whoa. We don't have to use these terms of sin and wickedness and evil. That's so hurtful. That's so offensive. That's so strong and so firm. You're going to offend people if you say such things. Guys, the Bible calls it, when you depart from God, when I depart from God, God forbid it ever happens to any of us. But when we depart from God, if that were to happen, it's wickedness.
Yep.
We need to believe that. You know what the devil tries to do? No. It's not that big a deal. You know what the devil tries to tell you? It's just one drink. It's just one evening with your friends. I mean, you're just going to the party. They're not telling you got to do anything there. But how many of us know when you are there, you've got a much greater chance of doing what they're doing. And because of the pressure, you probably will do what they do. There's an old statement, if you don't want to get burned, don't play with fire. And guys, I would tell you, if you don't want to get burned in your life, don't hang around those that are in trouble all the time, that live away from God. If you want to keep your life on the straight and narrow, if you want to live right, if you want to honor God with your life, if other people aren't trying to do it, get away from them.
Yeah.
Tell them about the Lord. Say, come on, man, to this side. No, we don't want any part of it. All right, well, I'm still going this direction. Guys, that's what it needs to be. The devil is a master. He's a master at subtlety. Kevin, it's not that big a deal. I mean, you're just holding her hand. I mean, let's get real, guys. You're just holding her hand. She ain't going to have a baby next week. Come on, right? Hey, guys. You know what the devil tries to do? It's like dominoes. Not the pizza place. He tries to get the first one to fall.
Yeah.
And guys, once you get the first one to fall, the next one is easier, the next one is easier, and they go faster, that's what he's trying to do. By the way, guys, the world and even so-called Christians trying to get us to compromise. I heard Brother Kirk say years ago, I think it's a wise statement. Guys, if you compromise at the top of a mountain and you take one step, guess what? You can fall all the way to the bottom real quick.
Yeah.
That's what the devil's trying to get us to do. So don't fall for it. I've heard people say these kind of things. And we need to realize the deceit of it. And there's risk of downgrade in our minds. We think, well, Kevin, instead of, listen, again, I'm not trying to
bash anybody, but instead of thinking, this was my friend. We had served God together. We had prayed together. I care about this guy. And guys, there's people that I pray about today that, you know, I could fill in the blank. I'm not trying to do that. But this has happened. But instead of me being over here like, man, I cannot understand how this guy could do this. He departed from God. He wickedly departed from God. He turned his back on the Lord. He quit on God. You know what the devil wants me to think? Well, he was going through a lot. And then, you know what the devil's going to say? Yeah, if you ever start going through a lot, I mean, you have an excuse too. No, I don't. Right. By the way. Some of those things I mentioned, why I needed to focus on some other things. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does He say? He'll help you with all the other things in your life. I'm paraphrasing, but you know the verse. Right? What does Brother Robert say? If you make it about the Lord will make it about you to you. Right? You know what he's saying? If you put God first, then God will take care of you. And He will. But you know what we think? No, I just had to focus on some other things. By the way, who do you want helping you? Yourself or God? I would rather have God's help. So put Him first. Listen, and maybe we do go through tough times. Maybe we do go through struggles. By the way, didn't David go through struggles? He talked about that all throughout this chapter. But you know what, guys? What does the Bible say? That God leaves us by ourselves? That we need to quit church so we have more time to deal with things? No. His grace is sufficient for us. Listen, that means if we keep serving God, God will give us the strength and the power to work through these problems with His help. So guys, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for me. Listen, guys, let's be real clear about this. There's no excuse for me to quit serving God.
Right.
Okay? Flip it around.
That's right, Brother Tom. You preach it about yourself. How about I preach it about you?
There's no excuse for you to quit serving God.
Amen. That's good.
And if we ever were to do that, God forbid, that is wickedly departing from God. All right. The relabeling effort. The devil tries to say, whoa, it's not that big a deal. I mean, Kevin, it's understandable. He was going through a lot. He had a lot of pressure on him. It was a difficult time. I've heard people say, well, I was struggling. I was dealing with depression. And guys, we're not belittling those things. We're not diminishing those things. But don't you think that God can help you? And by the way, don't you think there's some friends around here that care for you? We don't want to see you ruin your life. We don't want to see you mess yourself up and make it worse. We want to try to help you.
The relabeling effort. Point number two. The rebellion is egregious. That's why I put this word up here. The rebellion is egregious. You say, okay, Brother Tom, you told me how to spell it. Now, what does it mean? Egregious means this, flagrant.
Yeah.
Flagrant. What does flagrant mean? Anybody have any idea of that? Flagrant.
Foul, intentional, with
Yeah, in basketball, right? I think that's the worst foul, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Flagrant two, they throw them out of the game. Mm-hmm. A regular flagrant foul, if they get two of them, they're out of the game. It's one of the worst fouls. All right, one of the worst fouls that there are. I am like all twisted up. I need to start to stop talking about basketball. All right,
but at least LeBron's out of the playoffs.
Amen.
If you don't like that, you can leave. No, I'm kidding. Stay at least till we're done. All right. All right. Bye, Michael. Lock the door. No, all right. But listen, that's one of the worst fouls that there are. You know why? Like Kevin said, it's on purpose and it's meant to hurt somebody. It has bad intentions to it. Hey guys, when we depart from God, hey, I'm not trying to bust up anybody, but I just want it to be clear cut. We want to call it what it is today. Hey guys, it's not a mistake. It's not I was going through a lot. It's not I was having a tough time and I had a lot of pressure on me. Hey, we all have that. We have seasons where it's hard and it's grueling. It's tough. Can I tell you there's no excuse to quit on God? The rebellion is egregious. It's flagrant. It's obvious. It's out there. It's disgraceful. It's repulsive. It's vicious. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The rebellion is egregious. Verse 21, he says, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God."
I am thankful that the Holy Spirit of God put that word in there, Kevin. He didn't just say, hey, it happens. It's understandable. Yeah. We're all kind of working through things. None of us is perfect. And none of us is perfect. But you know what, guys? There is no excuse to quit on God.
Right.
And God, through the Holy Spirit and through the pen of David, says, when you depart from God, that's wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And if I depart from God, that's wickedness. It's not that Brother Tom had a lot on his back. It wasn't that it was tough and he was discouraged and it was hard and he was depressed. Guys, again, not diminishing those things, but that's no excuse. No excuse. God will lift you up. God will give you the strength. God will keep you going
if you stay faithful to Him. And if you depart from Him, that's wickedness. The rebellion is egregious at its core, guys. Don't let the world trick you and relabel things and retitle things and reword things to get you all confused. No, when people walk away from God, they walk away from God. That's wicked. And we need to call it what it is. We love those people. We want them to come back. But guys, listen. Listen to me. Kevin, we can't get people to come back by lowering our standards.
Right.
Because they're going to come back to mush.
Right.
To something that can't help them because we don't believe anything anymore. Mm-hmm. By the way, guys, the word wicked in the Bible, you know what it means? Malignant, or that it causes injury or hurt. You know why we're against something that's wicked and that's evil? Kevin, it hurts people.
Yeah.
It hurts people. Listen, guys, you live in a wicked way, it hurts your life and it hurts those you care about. Mm-hmm. And it'll hurt your whole sphere of influence around you. Hey, that's why we should hate evil, hate wickedness. By the way, hey, I've said this before, but we should call out the evil and the wickedness in our day and the politicians and the wicked laws that they try to pass and all that kind of stuff. But don't give me that garbage, guys, unless you point your finger in the mirror. And if there's evil or wickedness in your life, you call that out in your life and you start working on trying to fix it. Because sometimes we say, bless God, this country is going down the tubes, it's wicked, it's evil, it's awful, how dare. But then we have all this wicked stuff in our own life. Why don't you be quiet and get yourself fixed?
Amen, that's good.
The rebellion is egregious, it's wicked, it's malignant, it causes injury. It's Kevin, if we're talking about a flagrant foul, that guy's trying to hurt somebody.
Right.
We're not okay with that. Listen, guys, you know what? It's egregious because it hurts the person that does it.
Yeah.
And it hurts those that are around that person. The rebellion is egregious. Guys, again, you say, so you expect me to be perfect? So you expect me to live the rest of my life and never make a mistake? No, I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. And none of us can be perfect. We know that. But you know what, guys? We should try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should strive. We should give effort. And by the way, we have someone with all power that's trying to help us. We have someone with all power that's on our side that'll give us the wisdom we need, the guidance we need, the strength we need. You say, well, Tom, you don't know what I'm going through. And maybe I don't. I don't know what some family situations are like. I don't know what some difficulties you face are. I don't know all that. I don't know everything. But God knows everything. And He says He'll help you.
Yeah.
He says His grace is sufficient for you. He wants to help you. And He can bring you through it, guys. He's giving you the power that you need to deal with it. Hey guys, I think this is something we need to believe. Hey guys, here's what I'm teaching you today. When someone walks away from God, whoever it may be, that's wicked. It's wicked. It's wrong. That's way out of line. We should never be okay with that. There's no excuse for that. Well, they're busy. There are hardships and this and that. I get it. Hey guys, by the way, when God saved you, did God know about all the things that you would face in your future?
Yeah.
He knows everything, right?
Right.
So, Kevin, we don't have no excuse. God didn't save you to say, well, hey, I saved you 3 years ago, but I get it. Your job was going to get rough, and I mean, that family situation was hard, and I mean, that person shouldn't have said that to you, and hey, you, it's okay. I understand. Walk away from me. I'm fine with it. Are we kidding? We think God's really thinking like that? No. He knew what you're going to face, and He says, I'm there with you.
Right.
I'm there with you. I like what this young man preached last week. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Just like I helped him through all the ups and downs of his life, I'll be there for you. But guys, let's be there for God.
Amen.
Let's be faithful to Him. Hey guys, when it's egregious, when it's wicked, it's flagrant, it's outrageous, it's way out of bounds, it's awful, it's appalling, disgraceful, repulsive, and vicious. That's what I'm saying. Guys, let me go through these subpoints. We'll get you out of here. This perspective, this mindset is imperative. It's key in my mind. Hey, guys, again, because if the devil can downgrade it in your mind and you think, well, Ethan, I know my parents have always taught me to serve God and do right, but hey, that guy had plenty of reason to quit on God. I get it. I understand it. He had every excuse in the book. If you start believing that, then when you start facing tough times in the future and he's in college or he's working or he's married and it starts getting a little hard for his life, you know what he starts thinking? That guy quit. It was okay. You know, there may be a day when I need to step away. Hmm. And the devil makes it a realistic possibility.
Hmm.
Can I've taught you guys this before, but it's probably been a while. Real fast, don't lose your place in Psalm 18, but go to Genesis 3. I just want to show you something real quick. This is random, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Genesis 3, first book of the Bible, third chapter. The devil tries to warm us up to the possibility. He tries to make us used to it. By the way, guys, we've preached on the wrong kind of TV and all this kind of stuff. That's why the devil wants us to see it and kind of get used to it. The first time we hear him say that word or do that activity, we think, but after a while, we just think, so? Everybody does that. He's trying to desensitize us, right? To where it doesn't affect us anymore. Notice this, guys. This is before Adam and Eve sinned. They're still perfect. They've never messed up. Genesis 3, verse 1, serpent was more subtle. Yea, hath God said. So the devil's working through this serpent, and he's asking the woman, did God really say that? We dealt with that a little while ago. I want you to look at verse number 5. Satan's still speaking. Eve is still on the receiving end. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I've read that for years, even. Years. And just, I don't know, a couple years ago I was reading it and it hit in my mind. Notice what he says. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof. You know what he's doing? You know what he's saying? You're going to eat it eventually. You get that? Are we awake right now?
Yeah.
You know what he's saying, Kevin? I mean, you're going to smoke it eventually. You're going to mess around with a girl eventually. Everybody does. You're going to drink it. Why don't you do it now? You know what he's doing, guys? He's trying to desensitize us. And before Eve even ate the fruit, she's just standing there looking at the crazy thing. He's saying, you're going to one day. In the day you eat thereof, one of these days, it's just a matter of time. The clock's ticking. Just go for it now. Who cares? He's trying to make it a realistic possibility.
Yeah.
Kevin, I think before this conversation, if you talked to Eve about eating of the fruit, she said, oh, no, we're not supposed to do that. But the devil said, one of these days you're going to do it anyway. And she thought, you know, he's got a point there. He's got a point there. And then it starts to become more realistic and more realistic and more realistic. And then you just think, sure, why not? You can go back to Psalm 18. The devil tries to do that with you guys.
Yeah.
You're going to fall eventually. Just go ahead. No one can expect you to live the rest of your life serving God, never messing up. Hey, guys. We're not expecting that of you. We're expecting you just to keep trying and God to give you the power each day to keep continuing on being faithful for Him. God will do all the work. You just got to stay engaged with it. You just got to stay doing your best with it. Call it what it is. The relabeling effort and then the rebellion is egregious. Guys, this perspective is key. It's key. All right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have had you do that. Go. You went to Genesis. Well, now you know where it is. All right, go to Chapter 39 of Genesis. Anybody know? It's fine if you don't. Anybody know what's going on in Genesis 39? If not, it's all right. I won't bash you. I'll just throw you out of class. Joseph at Potiphar's house. Joseph is now a slave, a servant, right? And Potiphar's wife, who's his master, she's coming after him. Wants him to sin. Wants him to commit immorality. I want to have one of you guys read it. Somebody volunteer. Verse 9. Kevin. Genesis 39:9. And then, Kevin, after you read it, somebody be thinking on it and then raise your hand and tell me how this fits with the message that we're dealing with today. So you can say it and I don't have to say it. Kevin?
There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
All right, guys. How does this fit with the message we're dealing with today?
He didn't need any excuses.
Okay. I'll get to you, Kevin.
When he said how he did his great wickedness, he called it what it was. Like, how could he be wicked and sinning against God?
Yeah. Guys, he's telling her no, right? She wants to commit sin right there.
Yeah.
Awful. Intense temptation that he's dealing with. But you know what, guys? Kevin, he didn't say, well, that's flattering. But, you know, I'm not really feeling it right now. Guys, if he believed that, he was going to fall pretty soon. What did he call it? He called it wickedness. He called it great wickedness. He called it this great wickedness. Kevin, he's not being confusing in what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's not saying, oh, me? Well, thank you. No, he's saying, this that you're asking me to do right now, that is wickedness. And lady, that ain't just normal wickedness. That's great wickedness.
Yeah.
No! He's saying, I don't want to do great wickedness and sin against God. Hey, guys, do you believe drinking is wickedness? Do you believe drugs is wickedness? Do you believe the wrong kind of music is wickedness? Do you believe putting your hands on the girls is wickedness? Do you believe messing with them when no one's around is wickedness? Do you believe that stuff is wickedness? If you don't, one of these days you're going to do it. You're going to fall into the trap of the devil. One of these days, in the day you eat thereof, because you've downgraded it in your mind. It's not flagrant. It's not egregious. It's not out there saying, no, no, this is terrible. Stay away. Hey, guys, why do people put a danger signs and beware signs? Because they're saying, if you go past a certain point, something bad could happen. You know what the devil tries to do? He gets his hammer out, and he takes those nails out, and he tries to remove that sign. They don't need that danger sign. They don't need that beware sign, Kevin. And by the way, that's why he wants a bunch of preachers to compromise and not call sin what it is and say, oh, it's okay. God understands. It's all right. He still loves you. Yes, he loves you, but he loves you enough to tell you, stay away from going over there. Mm-hmm. That's the way it needs to be, young men. We need to call it what it is. Joseph said, this is great wickedness. You want to know why Joseph didn't fall to that very intense temptation that he was facing? He believed that that was great wickedness. And he's saying, I don't want to sin against my God. God's been too good to me for me to do something awful like that. The perspective is imperative. Let me move quickly. I'll get you guys out of here. So how do we not fall? This is still the same point, but we'll continue on. How do we not fall? Notice what he says in verse, at the beginning of verse 21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have kept the ways of the Lord. You know what he's saying? I persevered. I pushed through. Hey, guys, if you don't want to start, should I say this? If you don't want to end up at the bottom, don't take the first step down. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand? And by the way, if you don't want to fall, keep growing. If you're going this way, you're not going to go that way.
Yeah.
You got to keep aggressive, though. You know the Christians that fall? Those that haven't grown in a long time. I don't need to learn anything. I know it all. I've got it all down. I know what we need to do. We need to, after this class, go in church, stand up, sing, sit down, pray, stand up, sit down, listen, fall asleep. Pastor, are you done yet? Stand up, pray, leave. I got it. I know what I'm supposed to do. But you know what? You haven't grown in years. That's the one the devil's got in his sights and saying, I'm coming after you. Because you haven't grown in a long time. Guys, you don't want to fall, keep growing. Where have you grown recently? You got to keep pounding. He says, I have kept. You know why David could say, I didn't wickedly depart from God? He's saying, because I have kept the ways of the Lord. I kept doing what I was supposed to do. I stayed faithful. I stayed in there. I kept going after it. I stayed aggressive. He wasn't perfect, but he stayed in it, guys. Are you persevering? He says, I have kept the ways of the Lord. All right. Notice at the end of the verse, he says, verse 21, and have not wickedly departed. What's the last three words?
From my God.
From my God. That wording is very similar over to what we just read in Joseph's life, right? He's saying, this great wickedness and sin against God. Over here, he says, I have not wickedly departed from my God. Hey, guys, can I tell you God has personal involvement in your life, a personal investment? You know what he's saying, Kevin? This means something to me. My relationship with God, it means something to me. This isn't just some person, some whatever. No, this is my God. He's saying, you want to know who my God is? My God is the one that saved me. My God is the one that helped me conquer these temptations. My God has helped me win those battles. He said, I didn't deserve to beat old Goliath, who was huge, who was nasty, who no one else could go up against. I was a nobody, but my God came through and helped me. He's saying, that's who I'm talking about. And by the way, before you do put your hand on that girl, before you do press play on that song, or before you do shoot something up or put something in your mouth or drink something down that you know don't belong, remember who your God is. When you were on your way to hell, your God showed up. When you couldn't do it yourself, your God showed up. When no one else could help you, your God showed up and helped you. And then you want to be over there, oh God, I don't really remember you right now. Yes, you do. You're just lying through your face because you want to sin. No. David's saying, I know who my God is. That's why I didn't wickedly depart from my God.
Right.
Hey guys, remember what God's done for you. Remember those moments you wanted to quit and God encouraged you right then.
Yeah.
Remember those. Remember those when you were praying about something. God came through and helped your family. Listen, I'm not trying to get all in specifics, but some of you, your parents, they've had sicknesses, they've had cancer, they've had difficulties, and God brought them through that. You remember that before you wickedly depart from your God. We want to forget all that, Micah, when those moments come. Well, my friends, she's really pretty. Forget all that stuff, and you remember what your God has done. Because without your God, you wouldn't be here right now. Neither would I. A personal involvement, the precepts he was in tune with. Verse 22, he says, "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me." Guys, you know what he's saying? He's talking about the Word of God in verse 22. He's saying, Kevin, I kept reading it. I stayed into it. I kept thinking about it. I was in tune with it. Hey, guys, you don't want to depart from God. You remember who your God is. You persevere, and you stay in his Word.
Yeah.
You stay in his Word. Hey, what are you going to do over the summer?
That's good.
Does it involve his Word? Be careful, because if it doesn't, your Christian life will be weaker when school starts back.
Yeah.
Or you can flip it around and say, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be a different young man when I show up in September back to school. I'm going to live closer to God. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to make some strides, and I'm going to grow closer to God. Why? Because I stayed in his Word over the summer. His precepts in tune with. His presence is important. Verse, let's see here, 23, the beginning of it, he says, I was also upright before him. You know what David's saying? I live right. Even in my private life, I live right. You know why? God's watching me all the time. He said, I was upright before him. Hey, guys, you may impress me and impress Pastor, but when God's watching all the time, what does he think? Because that's what matters. That's what matters in my life. Carlos, it's not what, you know, the important people around church, when they show up, that I turn on the smile and turn on the charm. Hey, brother. Have the little head shake and all that. How's it going? Or when my wife shows up, oh yeah, serve God, babe. Alright. Better watch myself.
Yeah.
Or you with your parents, or whatever it may be, guys. You can't just do it around the important people. It has to be between you and God. He's saying, I was upright before him. I lived right in front of God's eyes. His presence was important to me. The prevented iniquity at the end of verse 23. He says, I kept myself from mine iniquity. You know what he's saying? I resisted it. I kept myself away from it. I prevented those things. Hey, guys, if you know you're weak in an area, avoid that area.
Right.
And I'm not talking about a certain city or a certain town. I'm talking about a certain activity or certain people.
Yeah.
If every time you go around them, man, I feel like every time I go around them, I mess up. Then don't go around them. Stay away from them. Man, every time I go to that certain place, we start talking about this, or we start doing this, or, man, I go over to this guy's house, and then he turns on something filthy, and then he pulls out this, and he wants to drink this, or smoke this, and, man, what am I supposed to do? Don't go there!
Yeah.
Stay out of that place of temptation. Get away from there. Mm-hmm. He says, what barriers do you have in place? Mm-hmm. He says, I prevented iniquity, saying that I kept myself from mine iniquity. You know what I think he's saying? He says, my iniquity. I think he's saying, Kevin, I have some struggles.
Yeah.
So on purpose, I set up some barriers so I don't go there. Mm-hmm. Let's be real, guys. Let's be real. If there's certain girls that, I mean, you kind of, you know they're not right, but you like talking to them, you like hanging around them, don't even go near them. Mm-hmm. When you see them coming one way, go the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's be real. Oh, Brother Tom. That doesn't sound very preachy. I could care less. It'll keep you out of trouble. I've had to do it plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Trouble coming.
Exit stage right. Let's get out of here.
Guys, listen. You are not a strong Christian because you can stand up to strong temptations. You are a strong Christian when you get out of those strong temptations.
Yeah.
The Bible says flee fornication. It doesn't say stand there. Mm-hmm. Flee. Get out of there. Verse 24, therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. He's saying there's a product for my integrity. Hey, guys, if you're living right, that'll pay off. That'll pay off. David says, listen, because I live right, God brought me through that. By the way, you reap what you sow. That's what verse 25 and 26 is talking about. And one last thing, the proud's inheritance, verse 27. Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but thou wilt bring down high looks. Guys, if you're proud, you've got an elevated opinion of yourself, you think you don't need God, then mark it down. You're going down. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to bring down high looks. Those people that think they don't need God. Oh, I got this. I'm good. Been doing it a long time. Like Samson. Mm-hmm. Going down, buddy. That's what God's saying. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Hey guys, let's call it what it is. Again, we're not trying to bash anybody. We're not trying to be mean. We're not trying to be cruel after someone's already down. But guys, listen. For our lives, listen. If you or I ever walk away from God, that isn't just how things worked out. That isn't just, well, that's the best decision I could make at the time. Guys, it's wickedness. It's way out of bounds. It's flagrant. It's repulsive. No, no, no. It shouldn't be. And David says, listen, walking away from God, that's just not normal and okay and understandable and I get it. No, David says, you know what that is? That's wicked. And he calls it what it is. Hey guys, in your life, and by the way, if you see wickedness in someone else, I'm not saying you stand up on a church bench and start preaching at them. That's wickedness, let's go. No, no, no. You probably need to tell leadership, tell somebody in authority and try to get them help. And Kevin, you know, most of the time when we're trying to help people in those situations, it's not me getting up in front of Nathan, standing on a chair. You know what it usually is? Hey man, let's go talk. I put my arm around it. I care about you, man. Hey guys, that's calling out wickedness. Don't get the wrong idea. It's not as Kevin and we were kidding on Thursday. It's not me getting some club out and bashing everybody.
Yeah.
That's not calling it out. Hey, there's times where we need to say stuff publicly, but most, more often than not, we're pulling people in private and saying, hey man, I care about you. Even I'm worried about this in your life. But you know what? Even more so than that, hey guys, let's believe it in our own lives. A while back, I got on a rant saying, do you believe this is evil and this is wicked? And hey, do you? Or have you downgraded it in your mind? And well, I used to think that, you know, when I was a little kid. You know, I thought if I ever did anything wrong, God's going to blow me up right on the spot. Boom! It was nice knowing him. Guys, that's not how evil works.
Yeah.
By the way, not that you ever should, but if you ever do get involved in evil, you're not going to blow up on the spot, most likely. Most people don't. And Kevin, that emboldens a lot of people to say, oh, I got away with it. I'm going to go farther. I'm going to go farther. I'm going to go farther. By the way, maybe somebody needs this today. Just because you didn't get blasted the last time you did it, doesn't mean you got away with it.
Yeah.
Chew on that a little while. All right? But we need to believe in our own minds. That's wickedness. That's wickedness. Hey, 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 a married man cheating on his wife, that's wickedness.
Yeah.
Some guy clicking on filthy, nasty pornographic pictures, that's wickedness.
Yeah.
That's not okay. That's not, hey, I understand, we're all weak. It's not okay. It's not okay. Guys, we need to believe it's wickedness. We need to call it what it is. And yes, we need to do it in society and with our friends, with our sphere of influence, but you know where we need it the most? In our own minds, in our own life. Believe it and live according to it. If it's wickedness, let's stay away. Don't let the devil diminish it and downgrade it in your mind. David said, I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from God. You or I depart from God, guys, it's not okay. It's not normal. It's wicked. Let's call it what it is. Let's